B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another week of Checkpoint Daily. On today's show, Halo, could it be actually getting a battle royale? And also, Robbie Landis joins us, talking to us a little bit about what happened on The Other Identity this week. ZeniMax finally got approved to get purchased by Microsoft for a whole bunch of money. And these guys try to convince me that Valheim is a good game and that I should try it. And lastly, a director or game developer from the new Hogwarts game found themselves in a little bit of hot water, and that's not all. So, that's going on today's Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news, Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game with your hosts, Norris, Callie, and Chad.
Hey, y'all, what's going on? It's Checkpoint Daily. Your host, Norris Howard here, as usual, joined alongside to my left by Chad Callahan. Hello, Chad.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
I'm
excited
intense.
Because it's going to be 60 degrees today.
It is very nice.
And I am just reveling in it.
It is very nice. Unfortunately, Callie is a little under the weather today, so she will not be joining us on International Women's Day.
Sad.
Which, a part of me, I just feel like this is an elaborate ruse not to have to work.
She's celebrating
right
now. That's a brilliant idea.
I mean, you know what?
I'm
going to just go out on a limb and say, for International Women's Day, maybe non-essential working women should have the day off.
You know, yeah, I'll go out and say that.
Just take the day off. That's 60% of the human workforce, but
that's true.
Take the
and
day
and
off.
And that's like half of almost everybody that runs us, so.
Yeah, take the day off.
You want to know what's sad, actually, is that Katie, my girlfriend, working today on International Women's Day.
Boo.
But apparently when the day comes around, the first day that they had to work from home, her company is now giving them a half day pandemic started holiday. So they get half a day off for when the pandemic officially started, but has to work on International Women's Day.
That's kind of
a bit ridiculous.
I feel like I would have just switched.
As you hear, Robbie Landis is also joining us today. What's up, Robbie?
Oh, you know, here for the usual Monday stuff, but also since I'm here, I might as well, you know, carry Callie's workload on my back as well.
You know what? And that's what men should do on International Women's Day. That's how I feel about it.
Pick
but anyway,
up the slack for him.
That's right.
That's right. Go enjoy your day off. We got this.
What did everybody get up to over the weekend?
It was my birthday weekend.
That's right.
That's right.
Woo!
Well, happy birthday, by the way. I know you're enjoying cheesecake.
I am.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you. It's becoming painfully more obvious. The older you get, the more nobody cares.
I mean, here's the problem with it. It's one of those things where it's like the pandemic hit and birthdays just seem to float away.
This is what this is what birthdays now consist of. All right, I got $40 from my mom. She's
nice.
Like, go ahead and, you know, order some expensive takeout, which we did, and then, you know, lots of Facebook notifications.
Yeah.
There you go. My girlfriend also, and she actually bought this a while ago when it first came out, and I saw it. I'm like, I want this. The legendary edition for Mass Effect, the big like cache that comes with like the 1-to-1 replica Shepard helmet. She bought me that. So obviously that's not going to show up until like June or July.
That's awesome,
but
though.
That is awesome. I'm going to be wearing that everywhere.
Matter once you hit a certain age, when you hit like a milestone birthday with a big zero or
man,
a
birthdays
five at the
always
end.
Matter.
I agree.
I don't know.
I'm a firm believer as your birthday. I mean, I take a whole month.
I usually don't tell anybody when when my birthday is.
The month of May is my birthday.
Yeah. I am depressed around
it.
My
belongs
birthday,
to me.
So.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Anyway, Chad, what did you do this weekend?
I played Valheim.
Oh my God. And we'll get to that. I actually ended up watching quite a bit of the Call of Duty major over the weekend. And it actually was very nice to watch. I forgot that watching pro Call of Duty can be frantic and annoying sometimes, especially if you have chat up. But once I closed the chat, my viewing experience was,
was much better,
significantly improved.
I feel like that's all across esports.
That's just in general Call of Duty too. Yeah. Like I usually mute everybody in Call of Duty because I'm like, I don't want to deal.
You know what I can handle with toxic people? You know who I can't handle in Call of Duty?
Children.
No. Oh. Well, that's number two on the list. But the asshat who continually plays music and it keeps triggering his talk threshold. So I'm like,
yep.
Turn your shit down, bro.
Yeah.
But yeah, so word out to Atlanta FaZe, who ended up winning the first major. They beat the Dallas Empire quite handedly. And so Atlanta FaZe looks like they're still going to be...
Man, Dallas Esports cannot catch a break.
You know, but Dallas, they're the defending champions. They won last year.
Fair enough.
They won last season. So, but they did play Atlanta FaZe in the finals. And so
take a hint, Fuel.
That was their great revenge. No, I agree with you. But anyway, with that said, here's what's happening in the world of gaming. And so since Callie's not here, I got to read it.
Yeah, I guess I could have, but I didn't think of it.
No, no.
Yeah, you wouldn't have.
You wouldn't have. Anyway, with that said, apparently, you know, we are waiting for the next Halo game, Halo Infinite. And apparently a tweet has come out by a well-known streamer that demands something of Halo so stupid.
Oh, I mean, I don't that think it's stupid.
No, it's stupid. Robbie, what is this?
All right, so Jack Courage Dunlop, who is a content creator for 100 Thieves, tweeted out, "I've played Halo since 2005. He tagged Halo, by the way, which Courage, you know, big content creator, big name. He's allowed to do so. "I've played Halo okay. since 2005. It's my favorite game series of all time. If Halo Infinite doesn't release with a robust and well-made Battle Royale game mode, then it will be one of the greatest gaming failures in history. Have a good day."
The superlatives is what gets me, okay?
In history.
Is it a missed opportunity?
Yes.
Maybe. Even that, maybe. Because I don't know if Halo fans are that hard up to play a Battle Royale.
Here's the thing, though. Battle Royales are so easy to develop and so easy to maintain and so easy to market at this point that I do think it would be a missed opportunity. However, where I think that Mr. Courage here is maybe setting himself up for failure...
is they're not going to do it.
Look at the state of AAA gaming right now. Halo Infinite was supposed to be a launch title for the Xbox... was supposed to be the... launched the Xbox One, and now we're hearing last of the rumors that we heard is that at its earliest, it will launch in Q4 of 2021, but the last we've officially heard, there have been game directors stepping down for the third or fourth time. If you don't think that this game is going to come out and be Cyberpunk 2077 all over again, but you're hoping for well-made Battle Royale?
I'll say this. I don't think it's going to be Cyberpunk because I don't think Microsoft will let it be.
Sure, it's Microsoft. It's not going to be that bad.
It's not going to be that bad.
But are we going to be talking about it in the same realm as we have No Man's Sky, Cyberpunk, The Witcher, Fallout 76?
No.
Maybe.
We won't. Here's why we won't. Is because will the game come out eventually? Yes. Now, will it be Halo? Yes. Which means people will like it. I hate Halo. I can't stand it.
Ditto.
But will it come out and will the Halo stands like it? Absolutely they will. The concept of putting a Battle Royale in Halo, I don't think adds that much value for the Halo fans.
Here's where I'll disagree. The reason why I think having a Battle Royale in it is that it's for the new generation. This isn't for the Halo fan anymore. That part is for the new generation.
Well,
of the
you
Fortnite
know what? Jack would disagree with
it.
You.
Well, why? What's he saying? Why would Jack
he
say
that? He's saying
that's the tweet we just read.
He's been
playing it since 2005. Jack Courage Dunlop is the Halo fan. Chad, okay. What's wrong with your head?
No, that doesn't make sense because, like, okay, sure.
You said it's not for the fans. You have a fan asking for it.
Okay, that one guy, but I'm saying for it to be something successful, it's for the new generation, not necessarily for the Halo fans.
No, but what I'm saying is that, okay, this is for the new, if you say a Battle Royale is for the new generation to bring them in.
Yes.
If you look at Warzone is not played by new Call of Duty fans.
It's
Warzone is played by the same old crusty motherfuckers who was still playing Call of Duty. That's not who this is for.
I think the problem with Call of Duty, though, is that it's also just egregiously like too large, and they make it more complicated to play easy. Like if Halo does the free to play option with the Battle Royale, that's
let
the
me
way
tell you, no. Let me tell you something, Chad. The only people who give a shit about the size of Modern Warfare's downloads are people who are sitting around playing copious amounts of video games, i.e. us and other video game journalists and stuff like that.
No,
disagree. People people will delete games off of their hard drive all the time. And let me tell you something. And let me tell you something right now, okay? Because if this was supposed to, if this was something that was a huge barrier to Call of Duty, it wouldn't have sold what it sold. It wouldn't be still as popular as it is. People do not care. And so what I'm saying is, in the case of Battle Royales, the people who are playing Warzone and other Battle Royale tag-ons to the rest of these already existing IPs are people who are going to be playing the game anyway. So that's what I'm saying, is that what value, in order to bring more people into this series, does a Battle Royale actually have? And I'm telling you now, nothing. The people who are going to play are the people who are going to buy the game anyway. So you just added more development time onto a game that's already been in development hell for the better part of a year and a half.
I think you're highly underrepresenting how popular Battle Royales are right now, and the fact that every game developer is doing it, and the fact that Courage, who is a huge streamer right now, is asking for it.
Yeah.
Just shows that.
No, but again, Courage, Halo fan. Not
okay.
Not Courage. I will play Halo if it's a Battle Royale.
I guarantee if you ask a kid, what would make you play Halo? If you asked a kid, what would make, they'd probably say, make it like Fortnite. I guarantee it.
They'd probably say,
make it like Fortnite. The guy from Fortnite! Come on!
They'd probably say, release it. Anyway.
well, kid, they don't know.
Anyway, so speaking of companies with way too much money and power and staying on the Microsoft tip,
oh, yeah.
Regulators and lawmakers in Europe have finally cleared the way for Microsoft to acquire ZeniMax Media. The $7.5 billion price point will stick. Guys, as now that we're almost a half a year removed from this announcement,
It's
been about half a month from this. What has this actually done?
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, obviously nothing yet. You know, I think that when news first came that they were going to do it, obviously, you know, you have to keep in mind that business is business and it takes a while. And honestly, even from here on out, it's probably going to be a while before we start to see the effect this actually has anything.
If there's anything I've learned from Microsoft in the past year that we've been talking about them, is that they're very, you know, long game. Mm-hmm. They have more plans than just like short-term plans, and you usually don't see that right away. I think it's the news outlets and us and people like that, or the fans, are always like, well, where's the return? Where are we seeing this? And it's like, trust me, you're not going to see it until like 2024, probably.
The biggest question that I think everybody still has is just whether or not those games are still going to be
the PS5.
The games specifically are still going to be on Sony or not. You know, know that
That
Deathloop, you know, was supposed to be a cross-platform game to begin with. They're not, you know, going to go back on that deal or not. So we just have to wait and see. I think that our biggest test for it is, and again, years away, but eventually, when we get to know a little bit more about Elder Scrolls 6,
yeah,
if that ends up being Sony and Microsoft, you know, cross-platform, or if it ends up just being Microsoft.
I'm going to tell you this. If they really, really want to make a splash and make people feel like this $7.5 billion was worth it, just say it's exclusive. Take Elder Scrolls away from Sony. And I understand for some people that feels like they may be undercutting their potential profit margin, and that's fine. I understand that. But if you really are trying to make a power move here, which is what this is supposed to feel like because of the money you spent, then make a power move. You want to act like you got the big dick, swing the big dick.
I don't know if this is a power move.
If you spend $8 billion on anything, it's
really
a power move.
So you're going to sit here and say, like, oh, it's a power, maybe it's a power move in theory, but, like, I honestly don't think this is a power move. I think this is, like, a wise investment, and they saw it that way.
Look, power comes in many different forms, and Norris is right. That would be one way to do it. However, I will say that as odd as this is going to sound, these past few months, you know, with the release of the Xbox One and with what Phil Spencer...
Xbox Series X!
Whatever, they're all nothing. The point is, Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, has actually started to earn a little bit more of my respect with the way that he talks about games and gaming and how he thinks that gaming should be something that everyone can enjoy when they want, where they want, how they want.
Oh, I agree.
And what I think the power move would be is, look, we bought Bethesda. Bethesda makes tons of money. Now they're going to make money for us. But y'all get to keep your games. They're still going to be everywhere.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's just as much of a power move.
Nah, I'm confrontational. Take it.
Obviously.
I'm confrontational. Take it. Listen to me, Microsoft. I'm going to say this right now. If you want to continue to become the big dog, if you want to move into that number one spot that Sony has claimed over the console market, you got to continue. Hold on. Let me finish.
All right.
You continue to support what you're doing with the cloud because that is the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a head start, Microsoft. So continue to support that, perfect that, and then when this next gen rolls around, in which nobody will care about consoles because we'll be on 6G and basically have holograms.
We're going to have the chips in our head.
We're going to have the chips in our head, and we'll have the robot sex dolls and all the other stuff we talked about last week.
Ugh.
All right? All I'm saying is, and then if you say Elder Scrolls 7, you can only get on our shit.
I think what they are planning is the next generation. I think they're phasing out the idea of consoles, and I'm here for it. I agree with you.
I think
where it's a better business model.
Xbox is going is the future. It's just a matter of will they survive long enough to get there.
I think they will.
I think they will too. But so here we go. Now. The last thing is, last week, we talked a little bit about Valheim. Whatever. Anyway, we talked a little bit about it. Chad, you're very, very, you've been playing a lot of this game.
I've been playing more than I thought I would. Let's just say
that. And we've been talking a little bit about it in terms of the, you know, trend game, Robbie. We talked about it as, you know, Valheim, just the trend game of the moment.
Much like Fall Guys, really.
Phasmophobia and the rest, where maybe a month or so down the line, nobody really cares anymore, right?
Uh-huh, sure.
So, I know the two of you have played this game.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to convince me that this is a game worth playing, because I look at it and I don't know.
All right, I'd like to do this a certain way. The first thing is, Norris, I'd like to know, when you look at it, what don't you like about it? What's stopping you on your own from picking it up?
It looks boring. I'm bored.
You're bored of it.
When I see it, I'm bored.
All right.
What makes you bored of it? Like, what part of it?
Nope. That's fine. That's
okay.
Fine.
All right,
this is just based on what he's seen. Chad, I'd like you to try and convince him, and then I'll show you how it's done.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. First off, I'm kind of shocked that you're bored by it because it's Vikings, and that's your thing. You love Vikings. Everything.
I do love Vikings, but I don't like boring Vikings.
I don't know how you're bored by Vikings. Okay, so you like park builders, right?
Yeah.
All right. Essentially, think of this as like a very elaborate park builder, but like it's your just.
Do I get
to
do I get little people that I control?
No, you don't have the people.
Am I able to then create relationships amongst? So I don't get no people.
Not like NPCs, but you have other people on your server.
I don't get no NPCs.
No,
you have people on your server. Okay, well then you're not
doing a good job. So every game you ever have to play has to have NPCs that you can control.
Yes.
If you ain't fucking, what's the point?
Hey, to be fair, I haven't gotten that far. It's still in early access.
It's not just that, but it's just like even when I play my city builders, part of what I like about playing the city builders is seeing like what neighborhoods look like and how do people prop up and where do they build shops and this and this and this. It's about how the NPCs interact with the framework that I have given them. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the beauty of a sim game, okay? So, again, on that point, okay, I'm going to give you a negative, and I'm going to lean over to Robbie. Robbie, your turn.
Yeah, this might actually be a little bit more challenging than I thought because Chad actually did kind of take my plan of attack here, and that was to play on your love of sim and you know, being able to build games. Because what drew me to this game is for a while now, I've been waiting for my Minecraft, right?
Yeah.
A game that I could jump into that there's no timeline, there's no objectives. I just get to take a world and I get to build and I get to mold it. And the problem is, there have been games like this in the past that I've wanted to do this in. Ark Survival Evolved,
Conan,
you know, was one of them. Conan. But here's the problem with most survival games, because that's what this is pitting to you, is a survival game, is that the survival aspect and the survival mechanics just get in the way, right? Worrying about eating, worrying about pooping, worrying about just all of that, like, other bullshit takes away from it. I just want to sit down, invite my friends in if I can, and that's actually one of the cool things.
I
have a server that some of my people on my stream have came into, and we've started to build up Landisheim. And guess what? In Landisheim, I'm Ragnarsson.
The nice thing about it, I really like the fact that it is like a lot like Minecraft, where you're building your own kingdom, I guess, in some
You guys
fashion.
Are not doing a good job.
I mean, at this point, I've given up on convincing you because the 5 million people think it's a good game.
Turned into my chill game, right?
Yes,
the game
exactly.
where I want to do something, but, you know, I just want to go at my own pace. And you're right, Norris. There is definitely a big missed opportunity here that there aren't any NPCs
Here's the thing that I would love if Valheim did this, and if somehow in the later patch they did this, and we're on the wrap up, but if we did this, I think this would be really cool, is that, yes, you can have your friends join you on the server, but if, like, there were little NPCs that you could place, you could have, like, a Tanner NPC or a blacksmith NPC or a...
Who just kind of continually makes stuff.
Who could then will automate the things that are happening in your little village. And so you don't necessarily, you get to a certain level, you don't have to be going around doing the same rudimentary bullshit that you was doing at level one. You could start going out and getting, you know, maybe going after the more difficult game because you have a blacksmith now that can make you better weapons. You can, you know, go out and stay in the cold longer because you have a tanner that can actually make you better skins that you could wear when you go out into the snow and stuff like that. So when I see Valheim, I agree that it's an early access game, and I have given it that sort of pass to say I'm not writing it off completely.
Right.
But for me to look at that game and to see, like, there's so much else that could be added that would take it to the next level, I'm going to just wait for it to get there.
I don't know. I like the fact that it's just me and my friends on a server.
All two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and them, actually.
But anyway, that's going to be it for part one. And then part two, the Hogwarts game. Listen, we know a lot of folks out there got issues with J.K. Rowling. I'm going to just be honest with you. But this Hogwarts game has another bit of bad press coming out about it. And we're going to talk about it coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
The chicken sandwich war ain't over yet. Introducing Zaxby's new signature sandwich with a double hand-breaded filet, split-top bun, and Zax sauce, our new spicy Zax sauce. Only at Zaxby's.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. And do not forget that if you haven't already, if you're a college student, or looking for any information about college esports programs, head over to Looking for Group. It is the only comprehensive resource for college esports programs across North America. That's at lfgroup.gg. And also, take the time out to visit our website, checkpointxp.com, where you can find episodes of The Other Identity with Robbie Landis. Robbie, what you guys talking about this
week? That's right. So obviously with the final episode of WandaVision wrapping up, Ben and I had to talk about what the sort of series overall did for the MCU, our likes and dislikes about it, and you know, with that ending, what does this mean both for Disney Plus, the series, and the MCU going forward?
That's what's up. We ain't going to talk about it a lot because obviously we got Wanda Wednesday coming up this week where we will talk about the final episode of WandaVision. Now, Robbie, you brought a story to our attention, and I wanted to talk about this considering this International Women's Day and to show people how not to do International Women's Day. Because this Hogwarts game is coming out, and they already made a splash last week by saying that you will be able to choose gender neutral essentially
be whatever you want.
Be whatever you want. So for our genderqueer and, you know, all that stuff, you'll be able to pick from that. And, you know, obviously, for, you know, if you were a jackass, you had a problem with that. But it did ruffle some feathers. But now there's even more news about this Hogwarts game, specifically about a developer on that game, That's gotten in a little bit of hot water. Robbie, what's the details on this?
Yeah, so last month it came to light that one of the game developers, Troy Levitt, was at the center of a controversy because people had discovered that he ran a reactionary YouTube channel that was focused on attacking feminism and social justice. And he has, as of this weekend, he has resigned from his position at Avalanche Software, who are the developers of this upcoming Harry Potter game. I just want to read you some of the tweets here. Unfortunately, he was not let go by the developer. I don't think that any of this backlash, you know, made them realize, oh, maybe we don't want this kind of guy working on our game. Here are the two tweets that he put out. One, I have made the decision to part ways with Avalanche Software. I have nothing but good things to say about the game, the dev team, and WB Games. Two, we don't care about that. Nobody needs to go look at his YouTube video. And then he said, to clarify, I felt absolutely secure in my position. That means he didn't feel that they were going to make him leave in any way. However, I still wanted to resign for reasons that I will explain in that forthcoming video. I'm in excellent spirits and very pleased with my relationship with WB and Avalanche.
All right. So here's the issue, and I'm not going to, you know... I'm not going to honor this guy by going and giving views and
anything like that.
But here's the thing, all right? There's two very telling threads of conversation coming out of this. Number one is the fact that Avalanche didn't feel the need to get rid of him. That's number one. And number two, because I am not one who thinks that, you know, every single solitary thing that you do needs to be scrutinized by your employer, including your political views, whatever. I feel like that is a little bit of corporate overreach, so to say. However, with that said, okay, there are certain things, in my opinion, that are beyond the pale. And that if I found out about it as somebody who has been in positions to hire and fire somebody, I've done that before, I would be very upset by such a content creator, especially in a world and in a series working on a game that is supposed to tout its inclusivity. That's the part that's not
immediately after, too, whole trans thing.
That's the part that's not hitting right with me, right? Because, Chad, you're huge Harry Potter fan, right? And you've told me many times part of the reason why you got so into it is because Hogwarts and in that world is a place where you felt like, you know, certain divisions weren't as, you know, horrid or polarizing as they are in our world. The headmaster, Dumbledore, gay. You got black people running all over the place. You got women in some of the most powerful positions and powerful wizards in the entire, you know, world and mythos. And yet, you have a guy who's working on this game who couldn't believe anything more opposite.
And it's weird because the way it surfaced, and I'm sorry, I forget who, it was a reporter that surfaced this up. I'm blanking who it was. That's how it came to light. It was a random tweet from a reporter somewhere, and it came up and it showed like all his videos. And then, you know, a couple days later, he resigned. So it's just a weird.
A month later, he resigned.
Was it a month later?
Yeah.
So it was a month ago that happened.
It wasn't quick. And you know, my read of this situation here is, you know, we definitely live in a world right now where your past is more than ever before at risk of potentially impacting what your future is, right?
Yeah. Yes.
In some cases, it's justified. You know, in some cases, maybe it isn't. And from person to person, even that can vary. You know, I always think back to how Disney removed James Gunn from tweets that he made, you know,
years ago.
And here's the thing. When people make people change, right? People have the capacity to change. As in James Gunn's point, he didn't try to fight back against that. He said, look, I did what I did. And if this is the, you know, the consequences that I reap, so be it. Now, in Mr. Levitt's case here, you know, he hadn't uploaded any new videos in quite some time. But I think what bothers me the most, not even just from his point of view, but from Warner Brother and Avalanche Software's point of view, is that Levitt didn't try to make any sort of statement as to, you know, a change in his way of thinking or in his change of feelings. And as WB, making this Harry Potter game, giving J.K. Rowling's background with her transphobia, you are already under a microscope. And when this game was first announced, you had to do so much to tell people, like, oh, she has nothing to do, she's not involved with this, she has no bearing on the game, this is our vision, we want to bring it to life. Like, you did so much to try and separate yourself from her views, but then allowing a developer whose past he doesn't necessarily recant, who, look, I'm just saying it, J.K. Rowling would probably sit down and have tea and crumpets with this dude or whatever it is that they do over in Great Britain, and the fact that you were content to just be like, yeah, whatever, it is what it is, I don't know. It really rubs me the wrong way.
Can I make a sad point?
Sure.
The general consumer of this game probably either A, won't hear about this, or won't care.
No, and you know, I just think it's really important for us, especially on a day like today, to understand that, you know, when we talked about what happened in January at the Capitol, and people were saying, oh, it's just these, you know, crazy, you know, older white folks and extremists and this and this and this. And, you know, when we laid out the evidence, and I was saying to people, like, you have to understand a lot of those people are gamers. A lot of those people are people who stream, people who create content, people who share these things, people who have platforms. And this is just another example of that. And I went to the dude's page. I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to give him no views. But he has stuff, you know, videos that say, like, in praise of cultural appropriation or Saving the Last Jedi, which to me, that's a dog whistle anytime anybody says to me, well, how to make the Last Jedi
which is weird.
Better.
Here's the thing. That's weird. So how are you making a video about cultural appropriation, and then the next moment you're talking about The Last Jedi?
Yeah.
Like, where's your
but
line
it gets worse. The injustice of social justice.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, you know, and a lot of things just against social justice, feminism in video game, the myth of the male gaze in video game.
Oh,
it's
God.
Just it's a bunch of really toxic neckbeard foolishness that
this dude doesn't seem like he fits into the world that most people look at and see when they think of Hogwarts and Harry Potter.
No, but he does fit into what people think of as gamer.
Is he saying there's a myth of male gaze?
No,
male gaze is a myth.
Yeah, he's saying the male gaze is a myth because, you know, you got to think over the past few years, people have been talking about, especially as it pertains to female characters, the portrayal of women in video games, you know, boob windows,
butt cams,
butt sliders, you know, all types of stuff that, you know, is there to enhance the quote unquote cishet male experience, where, you know, you got just a bunch of well endowed female characters and as little clothing as humanly possible. Which, I mean,
so
listen.
He's in support of that?
No, he's saying that that has nothing to do with men and how they view characters. Which
sure.
Is, which
let's
is,
pretend. That
which is a lie.
Have, let's just
which
pretend
just
they don't have fucking posters hanging up of these characters in their bedroom.
Which is a lie. It's just a flat out lie. It's a lie. Listen, I am a cis het male. I would be lying if I said when I was 10 and 11 years old that I didn't see Chun-Li in the tracksuit in Street Fighter Alpha and I didn't go, hell the fuck, yes.
Isn't it I forget exactly who it was, but one of the main game devs involved with like the Devil May Cry series, hasn't he came out and said, yeah, the reason I put hot women in scantily clad outfits is because I like it.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Dude, Aki Man, the guy who did the art for some of the original art for Street Fighter 2, they asked him, was like, wow, Chun-Li, the thighs, was that like intentional? He's like, I like thick women.
So yeah,
that was the end of the argument.
The defense of Devil May Cry, they usually sexualize the male characters.
Yeah, no, that's
too.
Fine.
So,
that's fine.
You know, equal opportunity there.
100%. But we would be lying to say that when you think of character design, even for males, that there's an element of female
Why
or even
there
gay
just
male
a cod
gaze.
Piece character that's just walking around just wearing
but the point of that is that to say that something like that is a myth is just intellectually dishonest.
Yeah, 100%.
Just point blank, period. But on the point of this Hogwarts game, and then we got to wrap up, unfortunately, is that to me, I just feel like on a day like today, International Women's Day, to have news come out of somebody who is so vehemently anti-feminist and anti, you know, social justice, that works in the industry and is working on a AAA big budget game. This is what we try to tell people when we say things like racism and bigotry go all the way up and through from the top and to the bottom. It's not just these streamers. It's not just these, you know, people you see on YouTube. It's not just PewDiePie. It's everybody. It's everywhere. So continue to be diligent, everybody. I'm happy this guy is not working on this game because he has
Wish WB would have been the ones to fire him.
Exactly.
Away,
wish it would have been a little bit more proactive. But at the end of the day, you know what? He's entitled to his very trash opinions, and he can make all the content he wants about it. But I'm happy that he doesn't have to make a video game. So with that said, we hope everybody has a happy International Women's Day. For Chad Callahan, Robbie Landis, I am your host, Norris Howard, and make sure you tell all the women in your life, happy International Women's Day. Bye, y'all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.